What's it like to be on the front lines of medicine during a pandemic? FM89's news director Alice Daniel got a firsthand account from Dr. Patil Armenian. She's an associate professor of clinical emergency medicine at UCSF Fresno, and she works at Community Regional Medical Center in downtown Fresno.
Why don't you take us through the ER? You know, what is it like right now? I've heard some people say it's kind of like the calm before the storm.
We are really talking about it right now, like it is the calm before the storm, because we're used to really high volumes of people. Typically in our emergency department, we see, I believe, over 325 patients a day, and those numbers are really cut down right now, I think, because people really don't want to come in if they're not, they don't really need to come to the ER. And so although we're experiencing really low volumes, all of our colleagues, you know, north and south of us and across the country, they're already experiencing, you know, major surges, as we all know. So in our ER right now, the busiest parts of our ER are our tent, where we do COVID-19 screening, and actually our high acuity areas. So those, that means the areas of our ER where we see the sickest patients.
And you said you were working in the high acuity area last night. Tell me what was that like?
I was there last night, and what I really liked about my shift was just seeing everybody working really well together. We've always been a really good team, which is one of the reasons why I work at CRMC. I love all of our nurses and techs and clerks and all of our ancillary staff, and we always work like a really tight-knit unit. But last night it was even more so, because we were all getting dressed at the same time in full protective wear to go into all of our really sick cases, and then always, you know, debriefing afterwards anytime we had a really critical case. And so it was actually really nice to just, you know, realize, you know, we're all on the same team here, and we're gonna get through this. And we did see a lot of sick people, people that, you know, we're ruling out for COVID-19 and may have it, but we were able to kind of really function well together as a team. And most of it is because our department has really done a lot of preparation.
Well, what are some of the fears ER doctors and nurses have about preparedness for this pandemic?
You know, our fears are on so many levels. We have fears for our patients, right? That we're not going to have enough equipment to take care of them. We have fears for ourselves and our families, that we're going to get infected and then take it home to our families and get the people that we love sick, or get sick and critically ill, or die ourselves. And so that comes with the fear of not having adequate protective gear. You know, what if we run out, or running out of things that we need to take care of our patients, running out of space in which to keep our patients. So it's really many different levels of fear. And so you just have to take each one, you know, one thing at a time and see, okay, how can we prepare for this? How can we deal with this? And I think we're all doing, you know, many different things, just on a personal level, but also on like a hospital and departmental level, to deal with all of these things. So I think one thing that we're really good at in emergency medicine is just to, you know, come up with plans and getting things done. And so we're doing a lot to like get adequate protective gear for everyone in our department, to, you know, figure out what resources we have in our hospital and in our area that we could pull from, to make sure we have enough medications, and just like a lot of fear. But at the same time, you're like, okay, I'm just gonna take each fear and figure out, how do we deal with this? So for example, you know, the fear of bringing the disease home into your family. Well, I think every single doctor, nurse, ER staff that I know at this point, we all kind of, we strip down out of all of our clothes outside of our homes, and then just walk straight into the shower, hot shower when we get home, and just scrub. So we all know none of your clothes and shoes come inside your house, for example, and kind of things like that. Like, so, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You have a family, obviously. Do you have children?
Yeah, I have a 2.5-year-old.
So what is that sort of disconnect like for you going from this sort of crisis situation to coming home to this, I'm sure, adorable toddler?
Yeah, he has no idea what's going on in the world. He just thinks that we're on a really long vacation right now. And it's hard because he's not going to his preschool right now. And so when I'm not in the ER, I'm at home being mom so that my husband can work. And fortunately, he can work from home. But basically, if I'm not physically in the hospital, I'm taking care of my toddler so that he can do his job. So it's really tough, actually, and just constantly trying to, you know, be outside and stay relaxed and just stay calm and positive so that you don't let the stress and the magnitude of what's really going on, you know, get to you in the home.
And you were talking about preparedness. What is a specific example of how you might be gearing up to make sure you have enough equipment, like masks?
Well, our department has been just buying up whatever gear we can find. So that's actually, it's not just our department, our whole hospital. So our hospital's been looking into like any source of masks and gowns and face shields and kind of anything you could think of. And they're just stocking up as much as possible. And then on a personal level, you know, I think a lot of us have also bought at least a few of our own N95 masks to have, just in case. I bought some online the other day just to have in case the hospital does run out. But I think right now, right now we're doing okay, but you know, we're also conserving a lot. So for example, before you would wear a mask, see one patient, throw that mask away. Those days are gone. Usually you have one mask for an entire shift. And really you kind of shouldn't be using more than that, or else we will run out.
And ER doctors see everything from shootings to horrific car crashes to domestic abuse cases, but this situation is exceptional. I'm wondering, what are ER doctors saying to each other? What are your conversations like?
Our conversations right now revolve a lot about, at least right now, because in Fresno, it hasn't hit us with the giant tsunami wave like it has in New York City, for example. So right now, a lot of our conversations with each other center around preparedness and protection. And so whether that's constantly reminding each other of, like, you know, don't forget to put your mask, like leave your mask on, or, you know, wash your hands, and just kind of things like that, to just to the bigger stuff of like talking to each other about how, you know, what we're doing at home to stay safe, or what we're doing to prepare, what our department is doing, how we can contribute to that. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And then we're also, ER doctors are really good storytellers. And so everybody is talking to their friends and colleagues in different parts of the country, then coming back and telling each other the stories of, this is what my buddy in New York said, or this is what's happening there, this is what they're seeing. And so we're just, that's like also a lot of our conversations of, you know, my friend in New York intubated 19 patients on his night shift, and kind of things like that, of like, these are the stories going around amongst our friends and colleagues.
And, you know, speaking of those stories, a lot of people are calling doctors and nurses heroes right now, and with good reason. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think nurses, doctors are, you know, techs and pharmacists and everyone that works on the front line in that space, in that physical space, is a hero, because they're exposing themselves to a potentially, you know, deadly disease and still showing up for work, doing a good job, being great teams together, and really, you know, helping people when they need it the most. So I firmly believe that anybody in the emergency department setting is a hero just for walking into that place and doing their job.
Well, Dr. Armenian, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with me. Thank you so much.
Of course, thank you.